Hello, welcome to This Week in the Atlantic Coast Conference, the podcast for allsportsdiscussion.com. This is Jeff, one of your podcast co-hosts, and you can follow me on Twitter at TalkinACCSports. That's at TalkinACCSports. The podcast moderator is Matthew, and you can follow him at ASD_HokeySmash. That's at ASD_HokeySmash. I'm going to turn it over to Matthew now to introduce our podcast guest, and everyone looks ready to go, Matthew.
Awesome. This week we have a great return guest on the show, a repeat guest from 2 weeks ago. It's so awesome that we have great guests to come on here, and it makes it fun having continuity here. Will Ogin is here, and he is a fan of everything the University of Virginia. He is a huge Minnesota sports fan, all other professional teams. You can follow him on Twitter at Will's World Minnesota, at WILLSWORLDMN. He's part of the team, a lead part of the team at accnation.net. And you can follow that Twitter account at accnation. They also share our podcast in a good partnership with Atlantic Coast Conference podcast material. So we really appreciate that too. It's a great partnership that we have with our friends at accnation.net. Will, before we started out here, buddy, tell us all about yourself, friend. And before you do that, I do have a question for you. Did you know that Mike London was a detective?
Drink. Oh, Matthew.
Wait, I got a new one for you. A new one for you, Will.
What's up?
Did you see the NCAA national? You see UConn play. Mm-hmm. Was that a reason to keep Virginia out of the NCAA field this week? This
past 100%. Yeah. They. I mean, Indiana State made the championship game of the NIT. You know that means everything. You know they should.
Yeah, I'm watching the San Diego Padres and LA Dodgers baseball game on here in the background. Mm-hmm. It's tied 3-3, and that means Virginia shouldn't have been in the field, the NCAA field. So if we ever replace the Mike London Cobb, I'm just gonna use that everywhere. Like, man, did you see the 49ers game? They beat the Cowboys. That means that Virginia shouldn't have been in the NCAA tournament in 2024.
I know. I can't fight Mountain Dew Zero either, Will. And so that also means that University of Virginia should not have been in the NCAA tournament. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. You can't find Mountain Dew Zero. Better call an ambulance.
I know, man. So, Will, tell us all about yourself, friend, and anything that you want to plug over at ACC Nation.
Yeah, so as Matthew mentioned, I'm based out of the Twin Cities. I live in a suburb that's pretty equal to both Minneapolis and St. Paul. Both take probably about 15, 20 minutes to get to either. I'm a fan of root for Minnesota sports. Not a whole lot to cheer about. It's been, 32 plus years since a Minnesota professional men's team has won a championship. We have a shot with the Wolves, but I'm not going into this with, a lot of expectation because it's Minnesota sports. It's 30 plus years of futility. And I think they have a real shot, but again, I'm going to have to wait and see. The West was pretty stacked this year. So it was pretty equal. My fandom in Virginia comes from, I actually am originally from there. I grew up in Central Virginia, and kind of when I first started getting into college sports, UVA was on all the time. And some 30, I haven't lived in Virginia in 25 years, but I still to this day follow Virginia sports from my humble abode here in the Twin Cities. And it's, you know, one of those things I've just never, I never was able to, you know, leave at home. I always brought my UVA fandom with me, and it's, you know, something I still have a passion for, even though I didn't even go to UVA.
Very cool. Very cool. What do you want to plug over at accnation.net, and who are y'all working over there with, Will?
So yeah, we've done, you know, we usually do a weekly podcast. We didn't podcast this week, just timing didn't allow. And, I have a full-time job. I have a busy life outside of my full-time job. So when we can find the time, and obviously Jim is the other part of ACC Nation, he's got a pretty busy, active life so we try to fit in a podcast every week. Usually we're recorded on Monday night. Sometimes when the situation warrants, we'll record on Wednesday nights for a Thursday release. We'll probably start ramping up our football previews here next couple months. Obviously, with three new additions to the league, that means we've got a lot more work to do.
definitely, man. So I know we were talking about this briefly before we got on the air here tonight, but I wanted to get your brief take on the 2024 Frozen Four. I mean, before we get into Virginia football, I mean, boy, Denver certainly played a hell of a tournament. They were very impressive.
Yeah, and when I was on a couple of weeks ago, I kind of felt it was going to be a Boston championship game, but the way Denver played, especially the goaltender, was just out of his freaking mind, especially in the championship game. He was a lot of the reason they won the championship, and that's kind of what it is about hockey sometimes. You can get in the playoffs, you can ride a hot goalie, you can go a long ways, and I feel like that was definitely the case with Denver here. And I thought the coolest story about that is Denver, obviously they're not exactly the biggest school out there. They weren't able to fly their band in for the Frozen Four, so they had Edina High School, which is a suburb of Minneapolis and the hoity-toity suburb. If you're familiar with the movie Mighty Ducks, and Adam Banks is referred to as a cake eater, those are people from Edina, because they are the hoity-toity folks. But the Edina's high school band actually stepped up for Denver and performed their fight song for them, which was pretty cool to see.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. That's a hell of a story. So, Jeff, man, we're up. Let's get right into the Virginia football, the Hoos.
Yeah, this is great. So glad to have you on. We'll start out our ACC previews, looking back on spring practices, getting that going. Your first guest for the football season. What are some of the major strengths coming back next year for Virginia?
I don't know if there is one position I would look at and say there's a huge strength. I think there's some solid pieces all around, like in certain positions, like wide receiver for one. Granted, Malik Washington is gone. He set all sorts of school records. He'll get drafted here next weekend. They still have some nice pieces, and they did really well in the portal there, and I'll get more into that in a little bit. The offensive line, I think, could potentially be the best it's been in a few years, probably since the team that went to the ACC championship game 5 years ago. I think there's some potential there. Unfortunately, and I'll get more into that, they've been a little bit banged up during spring practice. We'll see how that all fares coming out of spring practice and heading in the fall camp. I do like the linebackers. Cam Robinson was someone that really just stepped up as a freshman and had a huge impact on the team. And this was, to be perfectly blunt, this was not a very good defense last year, and he was one of the stars of it. His counterpart on the other side, James Jackson, was a really solid player too. He was one of the top tacklers on the team, but Robinson is kind of the star of this defense. And, you know, now that he's going to be the full-time starter at linebacker, and I think he has the potential to have an all ACC caliber season. The other position I think is pretty solid is safety. Jonas Sanker actually led the team in tackles last season. He was the only one over 100. He was really solid. Antonio Clary is another one that I really like too. He had a solid season. He was a little bit banged up. And I'll just go ahead. I think special teams is pretty decent too. Will Bettridge was, I think, for my money, one of the better kickers in the league last season. I know, you know, kickers aren't, you know, Virginia struggled at kicker at times, and you know, Bettridge was about as steady as he comes. He doesn't have the biggest leg in the world, but he has a really accurate leg. I think that's a big deal.
All right. Will, let's go to the flip side now. What are some of the major weaknesses for the Hoos going into this season? In other words, what do you think Virginia will be working on before the first game? And what are the questions you think have to be resolved for Virginia to have a successful season?
Well, first, the quarterback situation needs to be resolved. And that won't get resolved until, no matter what is said, we're not going to know until game one. Tony Muscat got injured late last season. We saw Anthony Calandria step up and be a very electric player in terms of his performance and just him being him. But Muscat was supposed to miss the spring, but he has recovered from his injury well ahead of time. And there's actually splitting first team reps in practice right now, both Muscat and Calandria. And that will stay that way into the spring game, which will be on the 20th next Saturday. And I see no reason with the way Tony Ellis handling is that it won't, you know, that'll be the same going into fall camp, that they'll split reps. If Tony Elliott is smart, he will go with Calandria. I think he has a much bigger upside than Muscat. I don't think anybody would have talked about Virginia last year at all had it not been for Calandria and some of the things he did. Running back has been an issue for this team for quite a while. I mean, some of it was just the way, you know, Bronco Mendenhall and Robert and I used the running backs. They just relied so heavily on the quarterbacks to do a lot of the work, and in some cases, offensive linemen. Still haunts me to this day. But the last time a Virginia running back had over 500 yards rushing was 2018. And that was Jordan Ellis having a 1,000-yard season. Anytime anybody has eclipsed that, it was a quarterback, whether it be Bryce Perkins or Brendan Armstrong in 2019 and 2021, respectively. But the running game has been so bad for Virginia for several years now that this is something that they need to really fix going into the season, because I don't feel like this team is good enough to be one dimensional. Now, I like the receivers, and I'll get more into that in a little bit, but in turn, the offensive line needs to be good. I'm high on this offensive line. I think there's a lot of potential there because there's continuity that hasn't been there in probably about 5 years. Defensively, this team had the fewest sacks in the country last year. They had 11 sacks. That's it. All of 11 sacks. Now, Cam Butler had, I think, four and a half of those, but he missed most of the season. He got injured after the fourth game and missed the rest of the season. He is the guy that would be their big sack guy, as long as he stays healthy. Chico Bennett's another one. I think if he stays healthy, I think he could get to the quarterback too. But these guys that have come in and they've been highly touted, and this has gone back some time, they just haven't fully developed. I mean, we've been expecting Ben Smiley, for example, to really step up and have a breakout year, and he just has never done that. Their defensive tackles, you know, Jameer Carter's a really strong kid and he's all right, but I just don't see much. I mean, the secondary was not very, the corners were not very good last year, and they addressed that in the portal. But you're asking guys to step up from FCS and, you know, MAC level competition to make impacts in the ACC, which I think can be very difficult. So yeah, there's questions all around on this team, and it's going to take me a while to believe in I guess any of these will be a positive, if at all.
All right, good stuff there, Will. Who are some of the new recruits, transfer portal players that you're impressed with, that have impressed you the most in the spring? And do you think any of them will get major playing time right away?
I mean, out of the freshman class, I don't really see any of the guys that came in as potential, you know, day one guys. I mean, their recruiting class is not like highly touted at all. What Virginia's really done is really do well in the portal. They've been doing that pretty much ever since the transfer portal. They've had a lot more success there. And I mentioned Malik Washington, who will be drafted next weekend. Or Jelani Woods came over from Oklahoma State and ended up being a day two pick, for example. And Keaton Thompson had a great career at Virginia. And he came over as a quarterback. They turned him in wide receiver, and he had an amazing 2 years of his career. And they continue to do that this year. You look at the wide receivers. They pulled in Andre Green from North Carolina. I think he has the potential to start right away. Chris Tyree, who came over for Notre Dame, who was a highly touted kid coming out of the Commonwealth of Virginia, who went to Notre Dame. He's come back for his grad season. I think he will be the replacement in the slot to Malik Washington. I like the kid they picked up out of Harvard, Tyler Neville, who was a pass catcher. He only caught maybe 20 to 25 passes per season in his last couple of years at Harvard, but it gives another dimension to this offense that they really didn't have last year. They picked up another a lineman from Central Florida and Drake Metcalf, who I think would have started right away. Unfortunately, in spring practice, he injured his Achilles, and from the sounds of it, may not play at all this year. And so once they get through the spring portal, you know, and that comes up again, I think they're going to have to go back out into the portal to pick up another lineman, because the depth there is kind of thin. So I think they really need to focus on that. Corey Thomas is came over from Akron. Somebody I think could play kind of a hybrid role, like a linebacker safety type. He's probably best. I think they'll play him more kind of in a safety role. I think he could do really well on this defense. Let's see, a cornerback. They pulled in a couple of guys from like the FCS or the MAC level. Kempton Shrine out of Eastern Michigan. Kendron Smith from Penn. You're asking a lot out of guys who to come from a lower level to step up right away, and that's I'm not sure they're going to start, but they will be significant contributors, and they're going to have to be, because I don't love the depth that's back there right now.
All right, fair enough, Will. Do you think that Virginia will be better than last year, and why or why not? And then talk about the two games that you think will be the most important for Virginia? You know, give us your thoughts on those games, you know, even at this early point. And then give us what you think the overall record for the Hoos will be.
So even though I feel like I've kind of dumped on this team a little bit, I think there's some potential there if everything falls into place. So let's go back to last year. This team played 9 games out of 12 where they were one score games going into the fourth quarter. They were about 8 minutes away from potentially tying Maryland on the road before Calandria threw a pick in the end zone and everything just melted down. They had a shot to beat NC State at home, but they scored the tying touchdown, the 2-point conversion, and then one of the linemen got an unsportsmanlike call. So that gave NC State great field advantage to go down and kick the winning field goal. They had a 21-7 lead at Boston College, ended up losing that game by 3, gave Miami a game, ended up losing in overtime, had every opportunity to win that one. They lost by 7 to Louisville on a Thursday night at their place. So the only time they were really blown out were the opening game against Tennessee, which nobody expected them to really be competitive. Getting blown out 45-17 by to Georgia Tech was a bit of a head scratcher, and then obviously being embarrassed the way they were at Scott Stadium to Tech. 55-17. Like, that one was kind of an eye-opener in multiple ways. I think a lot of people realize that if you want to get this team over the hump, because let's be real, going into that game, I think there was a real shot for Virginia to win that game. I think Tech was a slight favorite, but you should... It's like it's inexcusable to get handled the way they did in that game. And I think we've seen the last 2 decades of this rivalry and how Virginia's only won once. And we know how big a rivalry is supposed to be. It's been one-sided, like I said, for 2 decades. This has got to stop at some point. Like, Tech has been down for several years. They might have their best record or their best team since probably Fuente's first year. And, you know, you're probably going to be a significant underdog in that game this year. But let's look ahead of the schedule. I'm going to pinpoint the game number 4 this season. And that's Maryland, September 14th at home. It's actually a 3rd game of the season. I forgot. They open up with Richmond. They should win that. At Wake, I think, is winnable. Maryland is, you know, a former ACC rival. There's no love lost between these 2 schools. I think Maryland would probably be the favorite in this game, but I think it's winnable. Hell, I think the first 5 games on Virginia's schedule are winnable. At Coastal Carolina, and then coming off a bye and then taking on BC at home. I think all 5 of these games are 100% winnable. They may not be favored in it, but I don't think there's a significant difference between any of those teams in Virginia. They just need to play better at the end of the games and not be so conservative. And then I think if Virginia does win, I mean, it's a long shot, but like I said, all 5 games are winnable. But if they go 5-0, there's like maybe one shot to win the rest of the season, because their schedule after the Boston College game is absolutely ridiculous, because they go Louisville at home, at Clemson, UNC at home, at Pitt, at Notre Dame, SMU, at Virginia Tech. I don't know what to make of Pitt, to be honest with you. I've been of the belief that they're starting to fall down the hill, and I think last year was a sign of that. I would not be surprised in the least bit if somehow Virginia went to Pitt and won on November 9th. Again, Pitt will be the favorite, but I don't think, based off of what I see right now, you know, 4.5 months before the season begins, that Virginia can't win that game. There, if Virginia somehow squeaked out a bowl season out of this, I think that would be a very successful season for Tony Elliott. And he needs this. Trust me, he needs this. If you want to be employed, maybe beyond 2025, and yeah, we're going to get more into that in a minute, but you've got to show that you are a better in-game manager and not lose all these games by one score, and B, that you know how to coach. You lost a very big part of your defensive staff to Illinois because how expensive the cost of living is in Charlottesville. Went to Illinois. His name escapes me at the moment, but it was a little surprising at first, but somebody was talking to me about and explaining the situation, it made so much sense. When you're a $300,000 home in Champaign, Illinois, would probably be worth like $1 million in Charlottesville. It's just the cost of living. And when you have a big family like this coach does, you got to be mindful of that. As much as you may love your school, you also have to, you know, think about your family and your financial situation. I will not fault him for doing that. But I think the potential, going back to this, I think the potential is there to be better this year. But I'm not all the way there convinced that it will be.
All right. How many wins do you think Virginia ends up with this year if you're making the call right now?
I think their ceiling is probably, like I said, their ceiling's probably 6-6.
Okay.
I think realistically, it's hard because it's hard to know exactly how Wake Forest is going to rebound from such a rough season last year. It's hard to know how Maryland's going to be without Talia Tagovailoa. We talked about Pitt. What are they going to be like with the new offensive coordinator? I want to say they can, I think they're probably going to end up with 4-5 wins realistically this year. But I can easily be surprised, and they can get to 6. And they have a tendency to knock off somebody that we don't expect. See North Carolina last year. And nobody would have thought they would have won that game. But hey, if any of these games end up on the CW, it will happen.
Yeah. You know what? I never thought that the CW is maybe a little bit of off the topic, but I actually thought the CW was pretty good last year. I know it got some criticism when the deal was signed, but I actually preferred it over the regional sports channels that covered the ACC for such a long time. Crazy things happening on the CW.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. And I think. This was just a start. Like, I think the CW is getting the ACC on the CW was a win for this conference. And look, the CW is building up their sports, you know, portfolio. That was just the beginning. They're going to get NASCAR, the second level series, Xfinity series, starting at, you know, the latter part of this season. I think they're getting the WWE NXT coming in, I think, next year. They're building out their sports portfolio, and the ACC is a part of it. And I think this is a boom for the ACC and for the CW.
Yeah, definitely not a bad thing at all. All right, Matthew, I'm going to turn it over to you for the last couple questions in the podcast.
So, Will, I think you covered, this next question, like the pulse of the Virginia football program. I think you did pretty well where you were talking about what Pete, you know, what you thought Tony Elliott, you know, really needs to do, but and the status of the program. But I mean, how I'm going to change this question just a little bit. I mean, where are you seeing the patience level of the fans now, Will? I mean, do they think that, like, let's say, I'm just going to use a scenario here, Will. Let's say the bottom completely drops out. You know, is this a scenario where you think, like let's say it's 1-11, let's say it's 2-10, something like that. Where's the patience sitting with the Cavaliers fans? You know, in a drastic scenario like the one I'm.
Oof. If they go 1-11, 2-10, oh boy. I mean, patience is already wearing thin with this fan base, from what I can tell. A lot of people are already off the Tony Elliott bandwagon. I've been a little more measured in my approach because, contrary to what people want to believe, Bronco Mendenhall left that program a mess. Like, yeah, we had that amazing 2021. But that program was a mess. That defense he left was statistically one of the worst I had ever seen. Like that, and I say that, and I've said this for several years, that team was 2 plays from 4-8. One of the greatest offenses we've seen in years was 2 plays from 4-8. It's because he did not do a very good job of recruiting. And Tony's had to kind of build from that. And obviously the timing of Mendenhall's exit did not help, because by the time Tony Elliott was hired, it was early signing, and a lot of that original recruiting class bailed because they didn't know what to think. And you've got a guy in Bronco Mendenhall who is, you know, I think what, you know, what his beliefs were and what Tony Elliott's beliefs are kind of on a couple different planes here. And you got a guy, you know, Bronco was at BYU for a long time, so he recruited a certain character person, where I think Tony Elliott would have probably done a little, you know, had a little different idea. And not having the time in that 2022 class to really get that kind of person, I think set this program back a little bit. And I would have thought they would have had I thought they would have done a better job of recruiting in 2023. I think some of this is kind of, he needed to get that realization that you're not going to recruit the same way at Virginia than you did at Clemson. Clemson is a lot easier to sell a 4- and 5-star kid on winning, getting to the conference championship and you know, being able to get to the NFL. And reality is, you can get to the league anywhere, but Virginia's hasn't had that level of success. Not in a long time. They've had their years. Like I mentioned, 2019, they made the ACC championship game. And even going back, you know, through a lot of the years, even before that, it had been over a decade, I think, close to a decade since they had won, you know, a significant amount. You know, they would barely sneak in the bowls and then just get it handed to them. The program hasn't had a really sustained level of success in quite some time. And with the new way college football is, I just don't fully know if this athletics program is all the way there yet. You need the financial support, number one. And I think the fan base realizes that. And I know after that embarrassing loss to Virginia Tech, they did it. They donated a lot of money to the football program. I don't know the exact amount offhand, but I know in the days after that, they put a lot of money into the NIL for the football program to try to help out a little bit. Now, it's too early to say that's going to pay off, because the season was 5 months ago, and we still haven't even had a spring game yet to know where things stand. And they've already done a solid job with the upcoming recruiting class in 2025, and they have some nice kids who I think have some good potential, but this team, like the recruiting classes have not been very good. Like really going back, really the 2019 class where Dontayvion Wicks was kind of one of the highlights. He's now in the NFL, unfortunately for Green Bay, but he's in the NFL. You know, that was, they get guys who, you get like one guy who might be on an NFL roster, but the rest don't even really, they, you know, don't really ever pan out. And I think this is, I don't know what, why that is. It's been going back to Mike London, really, and where this team is just, they've gotten the talent, and for whatever reason, it's just not, what you're expecting of them is just not there. And I don't know what the problem is and why that is. Maybe the right coach just hasn't gotten to them. I think there's, I think this fan base is very apoplectic right now. With this, they need a reason. Some of them need a reason to believe. I think Tony Elliott is a good person. I just don't know what he is as a coach yet. He's made some good decisions, and he's made some really head-scratching decisions. I think some of it, I've don't know why he keeps his offensive coordinator. He's been, Des Kitchings is a person he's never been a very good offensive coordinator, and I think last year might have been his best offense as a OC ever. And I think it was ranked in like the 70s. I think therein lies the problem. If they have another bad year on offense, I think you gotta make a change there. But to go back to your scenario, Matthew, if this team goes 1-11, 2-10, I don't even think there's a guarantee Tony Elliott's even getting next year. It's hard to say because I don't really have a good grasp of what Carla Williams likes to do in terms of that, because she really hasn't had to fire anybody. I mean, Bronco stepped down. You know, Tony Bennett was handed to her. The only hire she's made that comes to mind that in any of the major sports is Coach Mox on the women's side. And, you know, we're a couple of years in, and she has done a much better job than her predecessor. But, you know, she has yet to get them to, you know, the NCAA tournament. But I think she will get it there maybe next season. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, what if, because, you know, Mike Elko at the same time, you know, supposedly was going to interview for that job, and look where he is now. Had a couple great years at Duke. Now he's at Texas A&M. Who knows what the situation would be like if Tony Elliott would have turned down Virginia, or if, you know, the original rumors were out there that Anthony Poindexter would have gotten the job. I think this is just a very critical year for this football program. Like, they need to show improvement in a lot of different facets. Because I think if this keeps up, if you are familiar with the opening day in the movie The Major League, where they take the field and there's maybe like 20 people in the stands, I think there's a real danger of that happening if the season gets out slow again.
No, I'm with you, Will. I mean, it's apathy, I think, is the thing that can really cause issues with the fan base. And I think you absolutely nailed it there. I mean, he has to have a much better year. And I guess I would argue a little different, Will. I mean, your AD, Carla Williams, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, she came from Georgia, and she came from a football culture, and I believe that she would be very decisive in making a quick decision if that sort of scenario that I brought out, you know, came alive with that sort of record. I think she'd be extremely decisive, and she'd probably find the donors to take care of the situation, and she probably I believe she would take care of it, Will.
Well, maybe, but we also have to realize, you know, the Georgia football and Virginia football are two different plateaus.
No doubt.
Arguably, it's probably the best football program in the country right now, and Virginia's average at best right
no
now?
No doubt. No doubt. No, I'm with you. But I mean, I think that, you know, it's the apathy thing that really, you know, I mean, that's sort of thing that can really get in the mind of an AD, I think, you know, when people start having, you know, become apathetic about a major revenue sport.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I get it. But I don't really like, and I get your point. I don't know. Like, I don't know what what's in Carla's head about the football program. Maybe she does realize, okay, yeah, this isn't working out, especially if they come out and lay an egg against Richmond. Oh boy.
You know, they're actually going to be pretty good too. Richmond they've been pretty good. They've been making some runs to the FCS playoffs. I mean, I think Virginia will win that game, but Richmond's not like, I'll say it like this. It's not like playing, you know, Austin Peay or whatever, you know, right, from the Ohio Valley. I mean, this is a team that regularly makes the FCS playoffs.
They have beaten Virginia a couple times. I mean, the last year, Val Guerrero, I think they beat Virginia, and in Broncos' first game in Charlottesville, Richmond beat them. It's not like this hasn't happened before. It's very possible. They're definitely the best, you know, FCS. Now that JMU's on to the FBS, they're definitely the best FCS program in the Commonwealth. Although William and Mary gives them a run.
That's true. I'm with you. All right, Will, it's open microphone time. What do you got for us, Phil? Will, the floor is yours.
So I'm going to have a real hard time adjusting to this new look ACC with Cal, Stanford, and SMU. It just hasn't hit me yet. Like, even when I look at these schedules and say, oh, Virginia plays SMU this year, you know, SMU, you know, I think next year they play Cal, and I believe they play Stanford too. I don't have the 2025 schedule in front of me, but it just hasn't hit me yet that this is the new look ACC when they, you know, have to take on those two teams. Yeah, they do. They play Cal and Stanford next year, Cal at their place, and then they host Stanford. But it's going to be real hard for me to get used to this. And although I will say, I think SMU has a lot of potential in the ACC now that they're in a Power Four league. They have they're going to have the backing, all that fertile recruiting ground in Texas. I think SMU can be a team that will be in the top half of the ACC here in a couple of years once they get the, you know, better level recruits to play. I think SMU could be a team to watch with the money they can have, they have lying around with all the boosters and everything like that. I think that's a team to watch for here in the future.
Can I tell you, Will? I mean, I'm going to add on for my open mic. I thought it was kind of funny. I saw, you know, we have the Stanford Rivals reporter that's going to come on our podcast and give us a Stanford preview later in the year. And one of the California folks on Twitter, just a random fan, was complaining about his coverage of the Stanford beat. And I started thinking, no, you guys are going to fit in right away into the ACC. I thought it was pretty funny. I'm like, okay, yes, this is exactly what I see here on Twitter. So very well, very well. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. Jeff, you're
Yeah, I just wanted to add something to what Will said about SMU. I don't think there's any reason why SMU can't do some of the things that we've seen TCU do in recent years in the Big 12. I mean, it was just a couple years ago. They made the national championship game, and I'm not saying SMU is going to do that, but you know, there isn't any reason that in a given year they can't put something together and really be a force, just because of all the reasons that Will said. for my open mic, it's been a couple of weeks since we had the podcast, and you know, just a quick look back at the NCAA tournament. You know, UConn was, you know, the best team in the country without a doubt. It was something I even tweeted out before that I wouldn't be surprised if they won every game by double digits on their way to a repeat national championship, which is exactly what they did. And outside of UConn, though, you know, the conference as a whole, the ACC was by far the most successful conference again in the NCAA tournament. They've just been flat dominating the tournament over the last 3 years. And, you know, I'm going to keep harping on this and for a while, but I mean, we've got to do something about the lack of bids that the ACC gets, because, and the way that these teams are evaluated prior to the tournament, because it was a very real possibility, you know, at one point that the league was only going to get three bids, and there's some in discussion of even two. And then they come into the tournament and put four teams in the Sweet 16 and three in the Elite Eight, and NC State, you know, as a team that was pretty, you know, average, below average during the league season, marches all the way to the Final Four. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how it's, you know, whatever the ACC needs to do to get those metrics right or to promote the league, they've got to do it, because we knew all along it was more than a three-bid league. You know, I think in the end, five was probably right. I think you could definitely have made an argument for Pitt, and maybe even a little bit of Wake Forest, who I thought was an NCAA caliber team. But, you know, we don't need to be looking at this again in the future where we're struggling for bids. You know, you look at the Mountain West Conference that got six bids, and not a single one of their schools got out of the first weekend. You know, the Big 12, considered by the country, you know, as the best conference, basketball conference in the league, and they, you know, by the end of the tournament, they had 15 head-to-head matchups between the ACC and the Big 12, and it was 12-3. I mean, I don't know how you can evaluate conferences any other way other than head-to-head matchups, especially 15, and still try to explain that the Big 12 was that much better, you know, than the ACC. So somehow this got to be sorted out going into the future. But, you know, tremendous run for NC State getting to the Final Four, their women's basketball team making a run to the Final Four. So for the Wolfpack, just an incredibly special season for the men's and women's basketball teams.
Definitely, Jeff, definitely. Did you want to add on to how we can contribute to the future legal climate within the ACC, Jeff?
Yeah. Sure. You know, considering that we saw a site, we're going to, you know, not get into the name of the site or what they discuss or even their article, but, dude, you know, we've seen the legal documents, you know, citing the Big12insider.com. And, you know, Matthew and I, we kind of talked about this, and we just feel jealous. You know, how come we didn't get cited? And for that matter, Will, how come ACC Nation didn't get cited in the legal proceedings?
It's very disappointing.
I think that must.
Nobody yeah, cares really, about the little guy.
We actually cover the ACC, though. Yeah, how did we not get in
exactly.
there?
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. It's not. We're actually the big guys here, Will. We're not some Big 12 site trying to freaking put off knowledge about.
Yeah, exactly. It's right there in bold. I'm so jealous.
Oh gosh, have you seen, we wrote
about that on the blog. So take a look at
that.
You
have to take a look at that, Will. It was really snarky. Okay.
I mean, a lot. You put a lot of snarky stuff up there, guys. and I generally get a chuckle out of it. So
this one was especially.
It was especially snarky. It was a team effort.
Will, thank you so much for joining us on the All Sports Discussion ACC podcast. We appreciate you spending your Sunday night with us talking about University of Virginia football, the Frozen Four, and anything else under the sun that we talk about on college sports. Thanks again for spending your Sunday night with us, Will.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Looking forward to it again.
All right, take care.
All right, see y'all later.